God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that you are so, so worthy. As we just sung, it is so true that you are the only God, the only one that is worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise. Lord, you're worthy of our whole lives. So, Father, I pray that we give you our whole lives, that we don't just simply reserve one day a week to think about you, to glorify you, to lift up your name, but every single day of the week, Lord, with our actions, with our words, with our thoughts, may we glorify you. May we worship you because you and you alone are worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise, everything that we have. Lord, we thank you that we have this time to gather together to lift up your name and open up your word. And I pray that your word would do its work in our lives right now, that the Holy Spirit, that he would do his work in our lives right now. Continue to conform us to the image of your Son, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good. You have heaped blessings and kindness and goodness, mercy and grace upon us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be so recognize and be so aware of all the things that you're doing in us and through us and around us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When is the last time that you decided that you were just going to reflect on all the things that God has been doing for you? When's the last time that you maybe counted your blessings? Maybe you named them one by one. Anybody know that song? Yeah. I think it's good and appropriate for us to reflect on what God's done for us and what God is doing for us. And I would say it happens on a weekly basis, almost on a daily basis, that I'm confronted right smack dab in my face by just the awesome, awesome things that God is doing in people's hearts and minds and lives. I remember that it's almost, like I said, it's almost on a daily basis that I'm interacting with somebody and they tell me, hey, you want to hear a God story? Or you want to hear something really cool? Or maybe I'll be talking with somebody and they'll explain how they have not been to church or not been reading the Bible, or maybe they've just been going through the motions for a long, long time, and they'll say something along the lines of, but it seems like God is so alive right now. Seems like he's really active. It seems like I just can't get out of the word. I can't stop praying. Praise the Lord for those moments, right? Praise the Lord for the moments that we get to reflect on God's goodness and kindness towards us. I'll get together with other pastors and we'll all share prayer requests and what God's doing, and then it'll be my turn. And after hearing about five or six guys saying, oh, you know, life is hard and, you know, people and all that, and it'll get to me and I'll go, things are good. Because I feel like I'm bragging because God is so active. And so I want to just bring that to the forefront of our minds this morning as we are about to dive into the word. God is doing stuff. God is in work all around. One thing that just pops to my mind that I feel like it's appropriate to share. Just recently, a 15-passenger van was anonymously donated to the church for ministry. Praise the Lord for that, right? Praise the Lord for people, for God working in people's hearts and minds and saying, I want to put my money where my mouth is. I want to put up whatever it is that is going on. I want to make sure that ministry happens. I want to make sure that the gospel is continued to go forth and that the ministry of Faith Community Church would continue to be, far reaching. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for what he's doing in your life, each and every one of you. I know that God's working in you. He's working through you. He's doing stuff all around you. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the blessings and the kindness that he is heaping on you in a way that maybe you don't always understand in the moment. Praise God for that. All of that is a result of the transformational work that God has done in us. All of that is because he who loves us With a love that is so unsearchable, a love that is so deep and so wide. He loves us so much that He would make dead people alive. He loves us so much that He would scoop us up out of our sin and our trespasses, and He would make us alive together with Jesus Christ. When you put your trust in Jesus, something happens. When you put your trust in Jesus, you are changed. And when you put your trust in Jesus, things look differently. Your outlook on life is different. The way that you carry yourself is different. Everything is different when you put your trust in Jesus. These are the results of regeneration. And as we look at the results of regeneration, if you have your Bibles, would you open up to 1 John chapter 2? And we're going to look at this passage. Specifically, we're focusing on verses 3 through 6 today. But before we dive in, I want us to really just contemplate what is happening when we say we are regenerate. When we say that we are transformed. When we are made new in Christ Jesus. When we have, as we focused on last week, believed in the risen Savior. What is it that has changed in our life? In Ephesians chapter 2, we read very clearly that we are not saved as a result of our good works. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The person and finished work of Jesus Christ, that's how we're saved. But although we're not saved by good works, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, tells us that we're saved for good works. After we put our trust in Jesus, there are evidences that we've been changed. There's results that follow the transformation that's happened in our life. And so what is this regeneration? What's it look like? Well, I think we start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when we recognize that those who were old have been made new. There is a new creation. You and I, if we have truly put our trust in Jesus, it means that we are being made new. The old is gone. The new has come. Ephesians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And so what is this new thing? This new thing that we've been made into, what does that mean? How do we know that we have been made new? We know God. And then if you look at John, the Gospel of John, I'll just read it for you. The Gospel of John chapter 17. Jesus, he says this in chapter 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you. He's praying to God the Father, by the way, that they know you, God the Father, and the only true Son, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Okay, so if you're following this progression, we're actually working backwards now. So if we start over here, we say, how are we regenerate? How are we this transformed life that is free of sin and death and all the things that have clung to us? What does it mean to be regenerate? It means that we have been made new. And if we have been made new, how did we get to that point of being made new? How did the old pass away and the new come? Well, you got to the point of being made new by knowing God. And so, how do you know God? Because there's a lot of people that know about God, but not everybody that knows about God actually knows God. You understand that? There's a lot of people that think that they know about you, but they don't maybe really know the true you. So how do we know God? Well, we find the answer in the book of John. The Gospel of John, just a couple of chapters after, or before, I guess, chapter 17. Chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. No one can know God without knowing Jesus. And that's a distinction that we gotta make so painfully clear in today's day and age. Because there are a lot of people, I would say, that would claim to know God. There's a lot of people that say, yeah, I'm over here. I'm regenerate. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Everything's good. And then you work backwards and you say, okay, so you claim that you're regenerate. You claim that you are saved. Well, have you been made new? And maybe that same person can claim and say, well, yeah, I feel new. I'm doing different things. I'm going to church. I'm doing the thing. I'm doing all these Christian things that I'm supposed to do. I'm learning this new Christianese language, right? I feel newish, right? Okay, cool. Well, if you've been made new, then tell me how you know God. Because there's a lot of people that have grown up around church. There's a lot of people that have grown up in Western civilization, and they've known things about God, but do you know God? And then maybe they would say, okay, well, what's the test of knowing God? How do I know God? Well, you gotta know His Son. You gotta know His Son whom He sent, who lived, died, and rose again. And unfortunately, that's where some people get a little uncomfortable. Because some people get uncomfortable when we say that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Some people get uncomfortable with that because they say, well, what about all those good people that don't believe in Jesus? Is there a good person? The Bible says, no, not one. The only way that we can be good, the only way that we can be righteous, the only way that we can be truly regenerate, made new, transformed, clothed in His righteousness, is only through Jesus Christ. And so in 1 John, I know I told you to turn there like 10 minutes ago. We're going to go there now. That was all just an intro for us to understand what it means to be regenerate, what it means to be saved, because I'm going to read here starting in chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read for a little bit, but we're just focusing today on verses 3 through 6. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, not only ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Verse 3, I'm going to read this again. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The same writer of 1 John is the writer of the Gospel of John. John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. And his words here in verse 3 of chapter 2, they echo what Jesus Himself says as recorded in the Gospel of John. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. So what we get here is a peek into what it means to be regenerate. What are the, I'll use this word again, evidences or results of being saved in this little passage. Just three verses, we find three evidences, three results of being saved. And the first one, chapter 2, verse 3, what does it look like to know God? We obey Him. Jesus Himself explicitly says, if you love me. And we also will, let's trace some dots. If you love me, Paul in Romans chapter 8 makes the connection between loving God and knowing God. You can't know God if you don't love God. You can't love God if you don't know God. What it means to know God is to love Him. And so if you know God, if you truly love Him, you will obey Him. If you're like me, I naturally, this is my bent. This is just who Josh is, okay? Ever since, I was one, it's as long as I can remember. This is me, okay? If you tell me to stop, I want to go. If you tell me to go, yeah, I just want to hang out right here. Whatever I'm told to do, I have this like initial reaction to just want to do the opposite. That's just me. It's always been me. My parents loved it. All right? So hearing this, if you love me, if you truly know me, God says, you'll obey me. If you're anything like me, that's not a stumbling block, but you hear that and you go, ooh, but what about me? What about the things that I want to do? What about the life that I want to live? Can't I love you? Can't I know you and still do my own thing? Can't I follow after you, but just, you know, plot my own course? No. We can't. That's our old self talking. That's our old way. That's the sinful desires and sinful nature in us. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I can't identify with that. If you tell me to go, I go. It doesn't matter what you say, I just do. I'm a natural born follower. I'm a natural born rule follower. So give me the rules because I like the rules. Here's the other thing. It's not all about the rules. Because there are some people that say, okay, I'll obey God. And therefore, that will get me to God. Well, that's not the thing either, is it? Because we don't look at the list of the rules and say, that's it. That's the thing that I'm striving after. We look at God. He's the goal. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's a difficult thing for many people on both sides of the aisle when it comes to obedience and our natural dispositions. But it is an evidence of knowing God. It's the result of a transformed heart and a transformed mind. I could not obey God in my own strength. I could not obey God in my own power. I could not obey God if it was just up to me. You know why? Because either on one side, I would just try to be proving a point. Look at me. Look how good I am. Look at all the lists of rules that I can do. See, God, I deserve salvation. No, that's not it. On the other end, it would be me saying, no. I choose my own way. I'll fight my own fights. I'll go my own ways. Don't give me your list of rules. I could somehow prove that I deserve it without your rules. That's not it either, is it? A result of knowing God is that you want to obey. Even when you don't want to, you want to. You know what I mean? A result of knowing God is that even when obeying His rules looks so hard, looks so tough, reading the Bible feels and just, it's a dry season in your life, whatever it is, you're running after the goal, and that's your God. Think about the time that you were dating your spouse, your husband or your wife, whoever it is, you would do anything to please them, wouldn't you? You would take a shower, guys, right? Whatever it is that made that other person smile. And it wasn't about following the list of rules in order to somehow get them to smile. It wasn't the rules that you're going after. It was that smile, wasn't it? Do we obey in order to somehow boost our status in God's eyes? No. We obey because it pleases Him. We obey because He's given us everything. He's given us life. We obey because He's changed us. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I get it, but I still struggle with this obey thing. I still struggle with opening up my Bible, seeing something that's hard, seeing something that's tough, and saying, I just can't do that. Here's the really cool thing. God helps us. He helps us in our obedience. Like the man who cried out to Jesus, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. We get to cry out, God, I want to obey you. Help my disobedience. God, I want to follow you. Help me when I wander. God, I want to be faithful to you. Would you help me to stay faithful to you? God helps us even in that. Verse 3, let me read that again, going into verse 4. And by this we know him, that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A few verses ago, back in chapter 1, we saw a phrase similar to this one, whoever says. Now we're going to see this phrase, whoever says, a couple more times. And it's for those who would puff out their chests and say, look at me, I obey God. Look at me, I know him, I can follow all the rules. Look at me and look at how good of a Christian I am. And John says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus makes it explicitly clear that he is the truth. So if we say that we know God, when the way that we live our life does not back that up, the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we think does not back up us saying we know God, then we're a liar. The truth is not in us. It can be a scary thing, a scary moment as we look in the mirror. Verse 5, though, gives us some hope. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. I love that word, perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Here's the really cool thing. If we go back a couple of verses, you don't have time to do that today, but you can read a couple of verses backwards. I promise you it's worth it. We read that the goal for us, it's not to be sinless, because we recognize we're still here in the flesh and we're still going to struggle with sin. But what does it mean to walk in the light? If you remember a couple weeks ago, walking in the light means surrendering to him, following him, admitting when we are wrong, agreeing with him when we have sinned, and trusting that if we... What is that verse? I got to read it for you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the goal of walking in the light, knowing God, is admitting and confessing our sin and watching him cleanse us. And so I say all that because when we get to verse 5, whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. There is a continual process that is happening. It's not as though God waves a magic wand and says, okay, perfect, 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 done. No. There's a continual process. He's looking at you and says, okay, let's tweak that. Ooh, that's a little earthly thing in you. Let's snip that out of there. Oh, let's chisel away this hard heart part over here. There is a process that is taking place. We often will call that process of the love of God being perfected in us this awesome word called sanctification. A process that happens in each and every one of our lives. We are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're made regenerate. And then we are continually being saved. We are being conformed to the image of the Son. He is perfecting us as we trust in him. And so this is the second sign of what it means and what it looks like. The result of regeneration is that we are growing spiritually. Now, the goal of growing spiritually is that you start over here and you're a little baby Christian, and then you grow and you keep walking through life and you just see the map go up, up, up. The graph continues to grow, and then you get to the spot where you're a mature, growing Christian. Praise the Lord for that. That's the goal. This is what it often looks like, right? You ready? We start off as a little baby Christian, and then we sprout, and then we go back down. And then we sprout a little bit more, and then you know what? We may get really low. And life is really, really hard. And maybe we have a lot of doubts and a lot of fear, a lot of things that are going on, and we just feel like we're so far from God. But praise be to God, He doesn't give up on us, right? And so we continue to grow, and He continues to mature us. I want to let you know, if that's what your map looks like, if that's what your projected growth looks like, don't get discouraged, don't get down. God's really used to that. He's really used to wandering, wayward children. You read the Bible, that's what it's kind of all about, right? God calling back those who have wandered. The really, really sweet thing is that we should be growing spiritually, and even when it doesn't feel like we are, even when we feel like we're going through a really dry season, we don't feel God, we don't feel like He's close, we come on a Sunday and we sing the songs and it just sounds like we're repeating words, and we don't feel them in our hearts. Maybe you sit and you open up the Bible and it just looks like a something that's not living and active, it just feels dry and dead. The cool thing is that our God, who is sanctifying us, who is perfecting His love in us, the cool thing is that He has the power to still work even in those situations. Even when we don't feel Him, He's still working. He doesn't give up on us. And oftentimes we get down in life and we look in the rearview mirror and we say, wow, look what God did. Wow, look what He brought me through. I had no idea what was going on at the time. I had no idea that all those things that were beating me up were actually building me up. I had no idea that God was actively changing me. He was chipping away the hard spots in my heart. He was shining the flashlights on the dark corners of my life. Wow, look what God has done. And so another result of regeneration is that we are growing spiritually. Is that when we can look back and we say, look what God did. Look who I am today because of a good and faithful God. We need to keep moving. We get to verse 6. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. This is the third evidence, the third result of our regeneration, our transformed life in Jesus Christ. Knowing God means that we are walking with Him. Knowing God, it means that our lifestyle reflects Him. It means that the way that people look at us, when they look at us, it might look weird to them. I know that when a lot of people look at me, it's weird, right? But when someone examines your life, they ought to see Jesus. When someone examines your life, they ought to see somebody who's been transformed. They ought to see somebody who's regenerate. Someone who has been dead and now has been resurrected in the life that Christ gives them. The way that we live our lives ought to be a reflection of our awesome, good God, of our good Savior. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I struggle to say my favorite because every week I feel like I have a different favorite. But this one is consistent. It's John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. Speaking of those who have rejected Jesus, it then turns and says, but all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to be called children of God. If you have received Jesus, if you have believed in His name, then you have the right to be called the child of God. That's something that you get to wear. That's something that you get to own. As a child of God, shouldn't you reflect him? If you wear his name, shouldn't you act like it? If you truly are a child of God, in the truth and the fact that you've been regenerated, that you have known God because of your trust in Jesus, then the way that you live your life, it ought to be a reflection of him. And when you slip up, when you fail, when you live your life in a way that doesn't reflect your God, when the people around you, maybe it's your family members, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's your coworkers, when they look at you and go, "Huh, that don't look right. That thing you said, that doesn't match up with the God that you claim to follow. That thing you did, that doesn't look like something Jesus would do. That thing you said, that thing you thought, that attitude you have, that doesn't really reflect Christ." Here's what you do. You don't bury that. You don't hide that. You don't try to pretend that it's not there. We have a 5-month-old puppy, and she just discovered that digging holes in the ground is really fun. And at 5 months old, she knows she's not supposed to do that. So the other day, I was out in the lawn doing something. I looked over, and she's just going to town. And I go, "Hey!" She just lays down in the hole trying to cover it up. Like, "What?" And then she just kind of lazily looks around, trying not to make eye contact with me. A lot of times that's how we treat our sin. A lot of times when somebody catches us and says, "Hey," whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, somebody looks at us and goes, "What are you doing? What do you mean? What are you talking about?" If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As believers, when we don't live our life in a way that matches our Savior, when our lifestyle doesn't reflect him, this is our response. Our response is to lean into his grace. Our response is to lean into, as very explicitly said, his faithfulness and his justice. As believers, we confess our sin. And in confessing our sin, we magnify our God. And we magnify the grace that he has for us. So even if you're sitting here and you say, "Okay, I can do most of these things, and I think most of these things are a reflection of who I am. Yes, I do think that I obey God as a result of my regeneration. I do think that just a lot of time I'm able to say I've grown spiritually, but man, I just get so bogged down and frustrated by this continually living a lifestyle that is a reflection of God thing. I want to let you know there's hope. I want to let you know that there's a God who knows exactly where you're at. There's a God who cares for you exactly where you're at. And not only is he cheering you on, he's dragging you forward. Not only is he cheering you on, dragging you forward, but he is standing as the example. And as he says in his word, he's given us everything we need in his word, for life and godliness. And so you're saying, "Well, how do I live a life that reflects my God better? How do I make sure that my attitude is in check, that my words are in check, that my thoughts are in check, that my deeds are in check? How do I make sure that all the things that I'm doing and living and everything that I am, how do I make sure that everything I am is a reflection of him?" You make sure that you get to know him. You make sure that his living and active word that pierces to the very fiber of your being, between joint and marrow, his living and active word, you allow that to work in your life. That's only going to work in your life if you're reading. It's only going to work in your life if you're running after God. God says, "You want to be near me? Run to me." He's going to draw near to those who draw near to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks so much, Lord, for these evidences or results of our regeneration. Lord, help us to look at these things and continually do self-evaluation. Lord, help us to understand who you are, to truly know you, and to truly rejoice in the truth of knowing you. Lord, help us to run after you in everything that we do. We thank you that it is by the grace, and your great love that we can have salvation. In Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that we make his name great, and that we continue to submit to you as you sanctify us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Spend some time fellowshipping with one another. We'll see you next week.